shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Today is Friday, July 25th, 2014. And this program was pre-recorded on Monday, July 21st, because by the time you hear this program, I'm in Idaho attending a private meeting. And a reminder that tomorrow, Saturday morning, July 26th, I will greet and meet and eat with True News listeners in the Idaho, Washington State region. We will be holding a breakfast meeting at the Best Western Hotel in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, starting at 7:30 a.m. It will run until 10:30. I've got to get to the airport in Spokane, so I can't stay much later than 10:30. It's a buffet breakfast. We're only covering the cost of the meal, which is $22 per person, and that price includes the meal, the sales tax, and the service tip. And we would love to have you stop by and say hello. Some people need to bring their children. That's okay with us. We're going to set the bar at age 12, so children 12 and under eat free. And if the hotel restaurant gives us any additional charges, we'll gladly pick up the expense for your youngsters to come along. The main thing is I want to meet you. I want to have a chance to meet you face-to-face and talk and share and answer your questions. And those 3 hours are going to go by very, very quickly. So, with this program going out Friday evening, it's really too late to do any kind of advance registration. So I'm just going to tell you, if you have not notified us, just go ahead and show up. And I'm sure the restaurant is prepared for an overflow. So we would like to see you. Again, it's the Best Western Hotel, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, Saturday morning, July 26th, 7:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., $22 per person for the meal. That includes the sales tax and the tip. Just bring a check, or if you bring cash, I'm just going to put a basket there at the front, at the beginning of the buffet. You know, this is an honor system. Just drop it in there. I'm just going to pay for it with the True News credit card and just trust that everybody will chip in and help pay for the meal. So, you know, we don't want this to be a big formal event. It's just a casual get-together, although I am pleasantly surprised by the number of people who plan to be there and the distances that they are driving. I did not expect this to happen. I just thought a few people from Coeur d'Alene and Spokane would get together. I didn't expect people from California, Montana, and Oregon to show up also. But I am delighted that you are willing to make that trip for a brief three-hour meeting. So we will see you tomorrow. Now, this is part two of an interview with the man known as V, the Guerrilla Economist. We were talking on yesterday's program about the Luciferian, demonic, satanic cabal that is grabbing control of the financial system of this world, the corporations, the banks, the militaries, the courts, everything. Listen, I am convinced that this is the satanic government that ruled the world before Noah's flood. It is why God destroyed everything. And Jesus said that his return would be as in the days of Noah. And we don't take that literally. We don't ask the question, what was going on in the days of Noah? Well, let me tell you something. They had an evil, wicked, worldwide, satanic, Luciferian government in control of the planet. And God said, enough is enough. I'm going to crush that thing. And Jesus said when he comes back, it's going to be as the days of Noah. God is going to crush, utterly crush, this wicked, evil regime that is taking control of the planet. So they ought to enjoy their brief time in power, because it's not going to last very long, and they're going to have a horrible ending because they're going to burn in hell for eternity. And if you're in that system and you're monitoring this program and doing your little duty for the regime of monitoring True News, let me tell you, get out of that regime. You're working for the devil. You're on the wrong side, and you're going to lose your soul. Come over and join our side. We win. And our leader is Jesus Christ, and he's going to rule and reign forever. You're serving the devil. He's a loser. He's been a loser from day one, and he is going to lose big time with this thing. But unfortunately, billions of people are going to suffer because of Lucifer's madness. And all he wants to do is kill, steal, and destroy. And he's got a lot of powerful people in this world going along with it. Listen, he is the God of this world. And these governments belong to him. When he offered to Jesus, when he tried to tempt Jesus, and he said, I'll give you all this stuff, you know, I'll give you all these nations. Listen, he wasn't blowing hot air. It was his to give. He's the God of this world. He's not the God of this planet, because he didn't make this planet. He's not made anything. He can't create anything. He's an imitator. But he is the God of the world. The planet is what God created. But the world is the system that's in control of this planet. And that is Satan's. He does own the world. And so it is his to give away if he wants to. He controls it. He is an active, hands-on administrator, ruler, king of his government. I assure you, he is a tyrant all over the world. Wherever he has his hands, it is bad news. And so I want to bring V back onto the program. And V, now that you and I are close friends, can I call you by your nickname? V. Is that okay?
Yeah, you can call me Gorilla.
Okay, all right, Gorilla. Okay. All right. Now that we're in a close, intimate relationship here. Okay. I couldn't resist that. Okay. In all seriousness, let's talk about where they're going next. On the preceding program, we talked about how you know, the fraud and the corruption is just at a staggering level. And I want to get now into the commodities, in particular silver and gold. Where can we start?
Well, you know, one of the things, I mean, look, we all know, and if anybody doesn't know this, you need to get your head out of the rock and understand what this whole thing's about. When you have a global economic crisis, the likes of which we have, okay, sovereigns, which are basically countries, do not trust each other's paper. Back 18 months ago, I said we're entering a time of hyper-currency war, and we are, because in a currency war, everybody, it's a race to the bottom, okay, and nobody wins. So the only person that wins is he who has the hard assets. Most of your listeners, I'm sure, probably know that you have places like in London and here in Wall Street that are being drained by, you know, they're being drained of gold, okay? A lot of the gold is being taken off into China, into Russia, and into places like India. China has about 20,000 metric tons. The Russians have about 30,000 metric tons. The Indians, amongst their own population, have about 30,000 metric tons of gold.
And those aren't the numbers that are on the official charts.
Correct. On the official charts, they'll tell you, oh, it's 7,000 for the Chinese, maybe like 9,000 for the Russians. But it's much more than that, folks, because what the rest of the world has realized is that America's been living off the printing press. That the dollar is, because of all the stimulus and all the TARP and all the bail-ins and bailouts and this, that, and the other, they have made the dollar and U.S. Treasuries in particular the most toxic asset on the planet. So nations of the world are like, you know what, we don't want to deal with this nonsense anymore. We don't want to deal with the fraud anymore. And then emerging markets have stepped forward and says, you know what, we're done with it. So they are moving away from paper, and the a dependency of paper, and they're moving into hard assets like gold and silver. Okay, that's the reality of the world. Okay, we in the West are what I call paper obsessed. We're obsessed with paper. Oh, I got a CD, I got a 401k, I got an annuity, I got a Roth IRA. It's just paper, folks. Get over it. Get over yourself. It's just paper. You owe nothing. The rest of the world figured out that hard assets are where it's at. And they've, you know, have done things to ensure that they're going to be able to stay viable because the dollar that they've, you know, used for decades for trade and for buying energy and for buying their food and other types of commodities, that dollar's coming to an end. So we've had the BRICS, and, you know, most people say, oh, BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. You know, I'm sure most of you folks have heard that term. When you hear the word BRICS, you do yourself a great disservice if you just think that it's just those five countries that belong to that acronym. When you hear the word BRICS, folks, it is 105 countries, 105, that have decided that they no longer want to play with the dollar.
Well, that leaves only about 74 or 75 other countries.
Correct. And that's the whole thing. This is a global shift away from the dollar. And, you know, the dollar's coming apart. The U.S. economy is coming. The wheels are coming off the U.S. economy. Because of this, you know, we have, you know, in Wall Street and in the markets, we are, you know, there's always insider codes, okay? Right before a system collapses, there are always insider codes given to let the major players know, hey, get ready. Have the exit doors set up, because when we pull the rug from underneath this thing, make sure that you're set up with those exit doors and have your doormen at the exit doors so you can make a killing from all the people that are going to be flooding in a mass panic out of the dollar and every dollar-denominated security. That's the signal, okay? They've done this in the market back in the 29 crash. They're going to do it again. This time, this is going to be the big one, because we're seeing not just an end of the dollar, but a complete end of an entire financial system. So back in May, one of my intelligence insiders, who I'm very good friends with, goes by the name W. So oftentimes we're on the program together. It's, you know, different radio programs were V and W. So little funny there. But this is a gentleman who's taken down the Soviet Union under Reagan. He saw a code come through, and immediately back in, you know, early May, first week of May, gives me a ring at 3 in the morning. I look at his message, and I realize, okay, this is major. The very morning that I wake up, I receive calls from the city of London. Okay, then there was like, you know, pitch black midnight over there. That they're going to, you know, mid July, things are going to come apart. They've gotten, you know, the instructions to get ready, so to speak. Okay, and they believe that some sort of a Russian response will occur in the Ukraine in mid to late July. Now, this is back in May, folks. And that same week, what happens? They announced to the world, and then both my W sources and my sources have said, that we're going to get rid of the silver fix. We're going to get rid of it. And July 15th, we've been given a code to get ready in the silver market. We're going to peg the price of silver to the dollar, and it's going to be the silver bullet that kills the dollar. In other words, we're going to make sure that everybody that's involved, all the players in the city of London, all the players in Wall Street, are positioned properly in the silver market, that when we pull the rug, they will make an absolute killing from all the panic-stricken folks leaving the dollar.
And this date was July 15th. We're now at July 24th. And you're not saying that something was supposed to happen on the 15th. You're saying that the major players were told to get into their positions by July 15th.
Correct. So, of course, when you release information like this, there are certain individuals that will take it and run and think it's the end of the world. Oh, my God, July 15th. And when we said no such thing, we said this is insider code. This is like insider baseball. This is like fixing a fight at a boxing match, okay, that the insiders are getting into position. And we said that this is going to be the sign. They're going to close the silver fix, which they did. Then we said they're gonna open up an electronic silver fix and market it as being an honest, unmanipulatable index. Okay? An unmanipulatable thing, completely honest.
Just for the benefit of listeners who are trying to keep up with all this,
sure.
When you say they're going to close the silver fix, just give us a real simple synopsis of what that means.
Sure. The silver fix, for 150 years, you had a few banks that get together in London, and they pretty much judge the price of silver. They do it once in the morning and once in the evening, I believe. And that's how they pretty much
legal manipulation.
Legally manipulate the price of silver, correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
even though we were told that there is no manipulation.
Of course. Of course. And there's a bridge on Mars that we can sell them, Rick.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
So the silver market, because of all the fraud that's been occurring, and one of the big members in the silver market, which happens to be, guess who? Deutsche Bank, one of the biggest, most corrupt institutions on the planet, which I predicted will be shut down, will probably be chopped up and sold into various smaller pieces when this whole thing finally blows over, who's one of their managing directors, William Brokesmith, winds up hanging himself in his London townhome. Deutsche Bank abandons their silver price fix seat. They're trying to sell it. Nobody wants to sell it. So the whole price fix is coming apart. They can no longer maintain the fraud. So they said, okay, we're going to close the price fix. And how convenient of a way to close the price fix, but then move it out of London, because London doesn't need it anymore. This way you eliminate all the paperwork, and then you make it electronic. And we said it's going to be electronic, and they're going to market it as legitimate and fair and even. And all of a sudden the City of London, along with the LMBA and the LME, have come forward and said, oh, yeah, well, it's going to be electronic, everything's going to be fair. And then we said they're going to probably sell it to the CME, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And lo and behold, the CME purchased last week the silver price fix, just as we said. In other words, folks, when they said, so the silver price fix is going to be electronic, that is a signal saying set up the exit doors. In other words, the exit doors have been created. When they said the CME is going to buy the silver price fix, that is code for saying, okay, here's the doorman who's ready to collect. So in other words, we are that much closer to the end of this whole entire thing.
And this barely made a blip in the establishment news media.
Never. Barely.
It was like, oh, by the way, yes, there's been manipulation of the silver price for 150 years, and it's been fixed, and here's the new way the game is rigged.
Yeah. And totally fair. Everything's wonderful. And then you have the rumors of, well, Mexico's thinking about having their peso backed with the silver.
Yeah, what's that all about?
You know, there's a lot of stipulation and talk here, but, you know, the Mexico thing is basically what my general source is talking about. They're going to shotgun merge us into some sort of a North American union when this whole thing is blown up. It just seems that...
So that never went away.
I thought it did. It's back with a vengeance.
I was talking about it on this radio show in 1999, and here we are talking about it again. I remember... This is when I lived in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I remember when there was a meeting, an all-day meeting, at the Federal Reserve branch on Pearl Street in Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I'm going to say the year 2000. And the topic of the meeting, you know, it was invitation only, the topic of the meeting was the Amero.
Yep.
The Federal Reserve Bank was openly saying they were going to introduce a regional currency for the United States, Mexico, and Canada called the Amero. And I talked about it extensively in that year. And here we are now, 2014, and it's coming back.
Yeah.
They just went underground for years because of the opposition. They're like rats. They just went deeper into their tunnels.
Well, Rick, they needed the right crisis, and now that right crisis is here. But from what I hear, the union will be there, but the currency as it exists on the surface, like an Amero currency, that's not going to be a part of it. But the union will be there. And from what I hear and what my sources are indicating, we're going to have a two-currency system in the United States.
An international dollar and a domestic dollar?
Correct. And the domestic one will be devalued anywhere between 70 to 80%.
All right, I can't say on the radio what Jim Willie calls the domestic dollar. It's funny, but I can't say it. It's FCC-regulated radio. So there will be an international dollar. Some people have said it's going to be a gold-backed treasury note issued by the U.S. Treasury, and the domestic dollar will be a worthless Federal Reserve note. Is that what you're hearing?
That's what I'm hearing. I don't know if it's going to be gold-backed or not. It's going to be backed by something.
How does a two-tier currency work?
Well, I mean, we have some examples of it throughout history. I mean, the Chinese at one time did that. And then currently the Cubans have a two-currency peso.
And they're ending it.
Yeah, they're kind of putting an end to it because it's an absolute nightmare on books. It's created all sorts of aberrations in price controls, in pricing certain items. It's been a nightmare. And so that's one of the things that they're putting an end to it.
And are the Cubans ending it because they know there's a global reset of currencies coming?
Touche. Absolutely.
So we're going to get the system that hasn't worked for the communist Cubans for decades.
Yeah. And our international dollar will be controlled by international interests. That thing is going to be devalued anywhere between 40 to 60%. And that's going to be used for trade settlement within the United States and abroad.
That's the good one, the international dollar. It's going to be devalued 40 to 50%. So what's going to be the devaluation of the peso? You know what we get?
The domestic republic or continental dollar, those are the two names that they're toying with right now. One of my sources said that it's actually red in color. He's seen it. He's actually a palette of the stuff.
Is Chairman Mao on the front cover of it?
It might as well be. And that's going to be your Federal Reserve note. And it looks like, you know, you know that's going to be devalued anywhere between 70 to 80%. So it's a massive devaluation.
Gee, could that be the reason Homeland Security is buying billions of rounds of ammo?
That could be, and also the fact that, you know, they're putting a massive constriction on ammo supplies throughout the whole entire country. Then you have that conjunction with the EPA that are shutting down lead plants left and right.
Going back to silver, what are you expecting to happen very soon?
Okay. A lot of people say, oh, V, is this the month that silver is going to go to $1,000 an ounce? And my answer is no. What this simply means, folks, is this, okay? Everything is being set up, and these people, okay, these neo-Satanist nut jobs make money on the churning of the market. In other words, they're going to make money with the volatility, and we're seeing massive volatility currently in the silver market. We'll see the price jump to $21 or $22, then it gets severely beaten down to $19 or $20. And this is how it's going to continue just for a little while longer. It might jump to 23, 24, then get beaten down to 21, 22.
Because they are controlling the volatility, therefore they're making money when it goes up and when it comes down.
Tremendously. And you might say to yourself, the average person, well, how much money could you make if the price of silver drops a dollar? Well, when you're doing tens of thousands of trades per millisecond, you're talking billions of dollars every single time that silver moves up one pip or moves it down one point or another point. You're talking massive amounts of money that's being created. So they're going to ride this thing for not much longer, but they're going to ride it for what it's worth. Absolutely.
And then are they going to drop silver and move to another commodity and start the whole game again?
No, they're going to keep silver around. See, the gold is going to be for the East because the East has a long storied history with gold. And you got to also understand, thousands of years ago, this is how these elite families worked. They'd have one part of the world use gold and another part of the world use silver. So we're going to kind of revert to that. It seems like they're rigging silver to be predominantly for the Western Hemisphere. Okay, so it looks like all up and down the Western Hemisphere, you're going to have some sort of a silver-backed trade settlement note that's going to be integrated to the North American Union as well as the South American Union. And each currency of those unions will be pegged in value to that silver trade settlement based upon the debt, the commodity wealth of the nation, things of that sort. So that's the kind of the plan that they're toying with. Whereas the East, and those massive trade zones that are emerging out there, they're all gold-backed settlement, man. That's where the money is going to be. Okay, so that's how they're realigning things currently right now.
What should people do regarding silver?
Well, you know, what I've been telling people for the past 18 months, Rick, is this, is, you know, just forget that, forget about the spot price, okay? The spot price of silver is far below what it costs a mining company to unearth it. A mining company, I mean, it costs them $24.25 to get silver up out of the ground per ounce, okay? Silver is, what, $21 and change right now? So, you know, forget the spot price. Buy as much of it as you can. Buy your junk silver. Buy precious metal. Buy gold. I mean, buy whatever you can. Get the heck out of paper. That's the first thing you got to do is get out of paper. You know, get what you can into hard assets. If you're able to offshore your wealth, get it out of the country, then do that. That's what you got to do.
They're closing that door for Americans.
Yeah, as a country collapses economically, okay, as a country collapses, it becomes more and more tyrannical. You'll start having capital controls where you won't be able to wire money internationally. And we're seeing that happen with J.P. Morgan about last year. And then the next thing that they're kicking around is having an excise tax, meaning, you know, they're thinking right now that they want to tax you 30% of your total assets. In other words, if you got a $500,000 home or a $200,000 home, you got 20 grand in the bank, you got a couple of cars you paid off, they want to tax you 30% of your total asset worth. I mean, that's massive. But there are some congressmen and senators who feel that that's not enough, that we should tax anybody who wants to leave the wonderful U.S. of A up to 70% of total assets. So these are the kind of crazy draconian control mechanisms that are going to be coming into place as the country implodes and we fall into a complete economic failure.
And because of the fact that international banks don't even want to talk to Americans.
Absolutely. Nobody does. I mean, there used to be a time I used to set up accounts for my clients in Singapore and in Asia. Can't do it no more. They don't want the American because the American right now is a liability.
Because the bank has to deal with the IRS. The IRS tentacles have stretched out to the whole world, and they are now claiming jurisdiction on banks in other nations, in every nation of the world. This thing's a monster. It truly is a monster. We're about halfway through. Let's talk about the Eurasian trade zone.
Sure. Well, one of the things I've highlighted for a while now, Rick, and I've wrote many articles about it, I spoke about it very detailed, is the Eurasian trade zone, how the whole entire, you know, realignment of the globe is heading that way. The Eurasian trade zone is divided into two things. You have the EU, that's the Eastern European Union, and that's headed by Russia and its former satellite states, which I call the stands, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, those are the stands. Then you have Latvia, Romania, which are temporarily in NATO's hands right at the moment. You have Ukraine, which is the wild card. That's pretty much the Eastern European Union. You got Poland, that's another wild card. So that's the Eastern European Union. And then the other part of the Eastern, the Eurasian trade zone is the EAI, known as the Eurasian Initiative. And that's your China, your South Korea, your Japan, your Taiwan, your India, your ASEAN members. And you also have RCEP, which is the RCEP, Regional Cooperative Economic Partnership, which takes the 10 members of ASEAN, which are the South Asian Tigers, and your Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, Vietnam, and you're combining it with China, India, South Korea, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand. So when you take that whole entire massive chunk of the globe right there, folks, you're looking at, you know, close to 70%, over 60% of global GDP, over 70% of global manufacturing, and over 60% of global trade. It's a massive, monstrous monolith. And the Eurasian trade zone is what they're doing is they're building what's called the Silk Road or the New Silk Road, okay? And this is significant. The New Silk Road is something that's going to be is being constructed right now, and is going to cut the time involved in shipping down to a fraction. And what I mean by that is this. Typically, if you want to run a trade route, okay, from any one of these eastern countries in Asia to any of the European markets, you got to do it by sea. And that could take you 42 days. Well, with the new Silk Road being built, it's only going to take you 14 days. You cut it from 42 days to 14 days. And that's why it's tremendous here. Okay? So the Eurasian trade zone is being formed. And, you know, there are talking heads out there and pundits who believe that, oh, this is it. This is wonderful. This is going to be a new era of freedom and honesty in the markets. And it's all going to be, you know, roses and unicorns and rainbows. They don't quite know what they're talking about. And what I mean by that is this. People think that the city of London is out for the count. Some people think that, oh, look, London's being drained of gold, so therefore the city of London is no longer matters. What they fail to realize, folks, even the loan package that was given to the Russians for the Ukrainians, when the Russians loaned $3 billion out to the Ukrainians, that loan package was written by the city of London. People don't realize, folks, that, you see, London doesn't care about how much gold you have, okay? And the analogy that I like to use is the washing machine analogy. You can have all the washing machines in the world. In other words, you can go out and buy all the washing machines you can. It doesn't matter. Because if I'm controlling the soap, I don't care how much washing machines you have. So in other words, you can have – they don't care if the Chinese have 30,000 metric tons of gold or the Russians have 12, you know, a billion tons of gold and this, that. They don't care because the city of London will be controlling the apparatus of exchange and trade. Now some will say, oh, that's not possible. Well, let me give you some clues here. Let me give you some hard evidence. In a recent trip by the South Korean president, Park Geun-hye, President Hee, when she was in Uzbekistan, in Samsugard, one of the big cities over there in Uzbekistan, which is traditionally and historically part of the original Silk Road, the woman stood up and said, it is important that we understand the significance of the new Silk Road, and that this Silk Road, here's the key words here, folks, so listen carefully, and the Silk Road will run from London all the way to Busan. London. She mentioned London. Did you get that? She mentioned London, that nefarious city, that haunt of dragons called London. I thought London was out of the picture. And then Busan. Well, what's in Busan? Well, Busan is the southernmost port in Korea. It's the second largest city in South Korea, right outside of Seoul. And that's where this pipeline and the Silk Road will both exit when it exits directly into the Japanese markets, which will also connect, you know, with Taiwan, this, that, and the other. And you see this ramp up, this whole overarching thing, and you see who's behind it, the city of London. Now, one of the flags that the Eurasian, the Eastern European Union, as well as the Eurasian initiative is flying, type in Eurasian Trade Zone flag. Type it on Google. You'll see an eight-pointed star. That eight-pointed star belongs to Aleister Crowley. Now, we all know he was the self-proclaimed most wickedest man on the planet, Mr. Satanist extraordinaire. But what most folks don't know is that Crowley was one of about 150 sages that the Lord Mayor, the most powerful figure in London, that the Lord Mayor, in whom the Queen of England curtsies when she sees the Lord Mayor, he was one of the 150 sages that were called on by the Lord Mayor to do various rituals and rites in the City of London Corporation, their meetings and the rituals that they would have and their initiations. So here you got Crowley's symbol, which is actually the symbol of the City of London. It's one of their symbols. Okay, it's one of their symbols.
And V, explain to our listeners, because most people, when they hear you say City of London, they're thinking of...
They're thinking Piccadilly Square. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. But you're talking when you say the city is not the vast urban area
Correct.
In Great Britain. It is the financial district. It is known
Correct.
As the city. And it's my understanding it's actually sovereign territory.
Yes.
It has its own laws. It has its own government.
Yes, it does. It has its own laws, its own government. The Lord Mayor is the in charge of the city. I mean, everybody just calls it the city. It's about a 10-block square within London proper. Just like the Vatican is its own entity, the city is its own entity. Washington, D.C. is its own entity.
But who is the Lord Mayor?
The Lord Mayor this year, the last few years, has been this woman. But I believe she's the real Lord Mayor is two steps removed. He's further up. The traditional Lord Mayor, you've had many members as Lord Mayor, and I think over the last couple of decades, they moved the Lord Mayor into much more of a background figure who really pulls the strings.
Who controls it?
The City of London?
Yeah.
Belongs to the elite banking families of the planet, the Rothschilds, as well as the Rockefellers, and a few other members that belong to that elite cabal who feel that they are not even human, Rick.
Well, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to challenge that statement. You know, earlier you were talking when you mentioned the code that had been sent to traders. I immediately thought about Christine Lagarde, IMF director. I thought about her numerology speech as she gave to the National Press Club January 2004. She talked about dropping the zero, the magic year, compressed numbers, numerology. Yeah. I mean, the only thing she didn't do in that speech was click the heels of her witch's shoes, turn around three times, and tap her broomstick on the floor.
Correct.
But you know what? 6 months from now, I wouldn't be surprised she does it.
Yeah.
It's getting so bizarre that, you know, they'll probably wear their witch's hat in public.
Yeah. She's just doing that as a fashion statement, right? There's no conspiracy here. Everything's fine.
She started the speech by saying she does what she's told to do. That was the first clue. She was telling everybody that this, you know, these are not my words. I'm delivering the message I was told to deliver.
Correct.
And then she made the reference to it. It may appear like we have worked this out in advance. That was the second message.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just got deeper after that. What do you think she was signaling?
Well, I mean, look at what she was signaling. She was clearly this was back in January, I think the 24th. She was signaling to people that, hey, July is going to be a big month of transition and change. It's the birthday of ISIS, and you have ISIS running rampant in July all over the Middle East. She talked about the number 7, which is prominent. Well, it's the anniversary of Bretton Woods. It's the anniversary of
Well, the fall of the Berlin Wall is July.
The fall of the Berlin Wall. Right. So you're seeing these major transitional themes that she was highlighting. Then she talked about the G20, and G is the seventh letter on the alphabet, and the 20th. And then, you know, we had the Malaysian Airlines flight 17, MH17, that went down. I mean, you know, all these things is it's unbelievable. And then you've had the buildup of tension within Russia, because if, you know, folks, let's not be ignorant here. The Russians did not shoot down that plane, okay? That was done by U.S. proxies in Ukraine, okay, who control the Ukraine, and those Ukrainian idiots over in Kiev, those sheep-dipped neo-Nazis that are in Kiev, they're the ones who called the plane to come on in to Ukrainian airspace, and then they shot it down.
It appears to me that what's been going on for months is that they are – well, it started with in Syria. We saw this scenario played out with Syria. They were goading Vladimir Putin to come out and fight. He put the kibosh on that war. They suddenly withdrew and didn't start that war. Now – The same game is being played in Ukraine, and over and over, the West is committing horrific atrocities and doing all kinds of outrageous things to provoke Vladimir Putin to come out onto the playground and fight.
Yeah, and that fight's going to happen. I mean, my City of London guys told me that they expect a Russian response mid to late July. And we are in the mid to late July time frame, okay? So I expect out of this whole MH thing, the Russian response will be fast, it'll be quick, and it'll be heavy. No one's going to say nothing. And you know why? Here's the thing. Rick, you got to understand, there's no Eurasian trade zone without Ukraine. Ukraine is the second biggest economy in Eastern Europe, right outside of Russia. After the Russians, you got the Ukrainians. they are vital and integral to this whole thing. I mean, what's happened? Let's not forget, about a month ago, they blew up the largest pipeline in Europe, in Ukraine. Okay, they blew it up. And, you know, they've done that to create stress within the EU, within the European nation, and we've seen that stress, that even the EU is breaking apart. You got Germany, who's like, wait a minute, we're not going to sit here and commit economic suicide with you guys in the West. You know, we're going to swing with the Russians.
We've been telling people this for several years in this program. Right. Don't be surprised if the Germans switch alliance from the U.S. to the Russians.
Yeah, and so will France. Look what happened with that fine on BNP Paribas. Okay, that fine, $10 billion, when the bank only makes about $7.2 billion in profit.
And Putin, Putin came out and said the U.S. was using blackmail against France.
Of course they are. And the French said, okay, we're out of here. The French are like, okay, you don't want us to use the dollar? Okay, fine. We won't use the dollar. We're going to go use the euro. We'll use the ruble. We'll use the yuan. And then today, what happens today? Well, the Swiss have officially set up yuan currency swaps. The Swiss. So you're seeing the entire European continent swinging.
You remember the famous comment that Vladimir Putin made about Barack Obama?
I love that one. One where we talk about, like, he's like a pigeon walking around knocking over chess pieces.
Yeah, he said dealing with Obama is like playing chess with a pigeon. He said the pigeon knocks over all the pieces and then defecates on the chessboard.
Right. And then struts around like he won it.
We all know that Barack Obama is just the empty suit. He's just the puppet that's being told what to do and all this stuff. Are the Nazi Illuminists in control of the West? Are they trying to start a war with Russia?
They are. They are, but the City of London is going to ensure that there's no war as of yet. There's not going to be no World War III. As yet, what's going to happen is going to be a military response by the Russians. There could be some U.S. assets that will get blown out of the water. Okay, at which point any sort of support or belief that the U.S. could protect. And you got to understand, folks, this whole petrodollar scheme exists on the simple fact that the U.S. has the military power to protect the petrodollar. Well, once you get rid of that, once you knock down that little pedestal. And, what's the dollar standing on? Next to nothing. And then you have Total Petroleum, which is the second largest oil company in Europe, second only to Royal Dutch Shell. The CEO of that company is like, what's the point of having the oil price in dollars? There's no use for the petrodollars. Just get rid of it. These are massive, massive, earth-shattering events, transitional events. And what blows my mind, Rick, is the average American has no idea, has no clue.
Is the world system being redesigned in front of our eyes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. See, they knew that this whole fiat thing, they needed America. They needed America as the engine to create the chaos, to create the reordering. They needed the currency of the United States in order to perpetrate the massive wealth confiscation on a global level and to create the fraud. And then when they're done with it, this is the phoenix, they're going to light the match, let the phoenix go on fire, and a new system is going to come out. And when it comes out, they're going to market it as the most honest, wonderful thing. You're going to have pundits all over, even in the alternative media, saying, oh, look how wonderful it is. Oh, this is great. Finally, the fraud is done. The fraud is – it's not never done. It's there. They're just moving on to the next thing. And they'll eventually, corrupt this to high heaven and destroy that, and then they'll move to something else.
They're going to present themselves as the saviors who rescued the world from the financial debacle that they created.
Correct. The United States serves as a straw man. It was always designed to be a straw man. Wall Street has always been designed by the City of London to be a straw man. It was just like the Titanic was designed to sink. You hear that, folks? The Titanic was designed to sink. Same thing. Wall Street was designed to be the straw man on which all the blame of the entire financial fraud will be placed upon, and the American government, everything will be placed, all blame will be placed upon it. These are the two straw men. And then they will step in as saviors. See, straw man's no more. We've made it a better place. It's more honest. come out and play. Everything is fine.
All right. I've got about 13 minutes. I want to talk about the ominous warning that you were given by a U.S. Air Force general. There's a lot of controversy about this, whether this is legit or not. Some people think it's psyops that's being played on you. You know, so let's take the remaining 12 minutes and talk about it.
Right, yeah, it's psyops, yeah, because I have nothing better to do than sit around and make up stories.
No, some people believe that psyops are being played on you. You know you definitely received the phone call, but you're being set up.
Yeah, well, so the answer is this: the guy contacted me because he wants to get the heck out of the country. That's the prime directive. He wants to make sure that his finances and his wealth are intact, and he's able to get it all out, and he's able to exit quietly. He wanted this bit of information to get out there, which corroborates perfectly, not only with my information and intel that I've received from my City of London sources, but also my buddy W's received as well. And all of us are pointing towards – you got three sources that are pointing towards the 2017 date. And then I heard from Steve that you had some guy on who was a major over at AFRICOM. And he said pretty much the same thing. So this is earth-shattering stuff here, folks. And I'll tell you this. After getting off that phone, I was – to say I was somber was an understatement. Okay? That would be an understatement of the century. The guy – and some people are like, well, you know, you can't have somebody go from major to a four-star in 4 years. That sounds like baloney. Well, you know what? It's not baloney. The guy's legit. Okay, I ran a background check on him. He is the real McCoy. He was one of the heads of asymmetrical warfare.
Now, he's in the Air Force, right?
Yes.
All right, now, I've been told that there is no asymmetric warfare unit in the Air Force. Is that correct?
No, he's consulted on that. It's not directly part of the Air Force. This is covert. This is like another level. This is a joint operational thing. Asymmetrical warfare department. There's no Air Force Asymmetrical Warfare Department, just like there's no Navy or Marine Asymmetrical Warfare Department. Asymmetrical Warfare Department is kind of like almost like JSOC, mm-hmm. where you have Army, you'll have Marines, you'll have Navy, you'll have Air Force. It's an integrated thing.
Right, okay.
It's the whole of the thing. The guy says this, okay, the whole illegal alien thing, okay, that whole timetable was written about 10 to 11 years ago. The illegals being dumped on the border is a type of asymmetrical warfare against the United States. And I believe strongly, Rick, that there's more than just illegals coming across that border, that they're actually bringing something into the country because all the Border Patrol have gotten their hands full.
It's the perfect scenario.
It is. It is absolutely the perfect scenario. If you want to bring something in, you do it. This is the way you do it. Okay? I mean, who else? I mean, today we've had Border Patrol being – ducking for cover as they were laying down suppressive fire. I mean, who does this kind of stuff?
Well, they fired on Congressman Gohmert a couple days ago, last week.
I did not even realize that. Yeah,
50 caliber on a U.S. congressman.
Unbelievable. Then the general said this, and I have the audio up there out in the blogosphere. He said the complete undermining of the U.S. dollar by the end of 2015. This goes perfectly with what my financial insiders and my sources and even my own data is pointing to.
Do you know at what point in 2015?
Probably the last quarter is what we're looking at. If I was a betting man, I'd say last quarter of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
He said 2017 and no later, okay, the U.S. will no longer exist as we know it, okay? The press covers and the announcements are already ready, and they'll be ready to distribute to the media to announce it to the world. The U.S. government as we know it no longer exists. That coincides with the dumping of the illegals and the shotgun merger of the United States into Mexico and Canada with the North American Union. There has been $8 billion that he knows of black ops money, and he's being very conservative here, and I'm estimating it's probably in the 30 or 40 billion plus of black ops money given to rebuild the Silk Road, okay, to the Chinese. That's because of all the massive amounts of money we owe the Chinese. The Silk Road is at 3-foot concrete slabs with 1-inch bars and 12-inch centers. It's covered by 3.5 foot of structural asphalt and fiberglass. The only thing that's going to be moving on that will be military and commercial. He said this is why we have been deindustrialized, because China is going to be the new economic industrial hub of the world. This was done under Nixon and was accelerated under Clinton.
So are we going to become the cheap labor?
We are going to be the cheap labor, and this is why I've said many times there's a reason why the Chinese are buying idle manufacturing in places like Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Cleveland. So
the good news is the factories are coming back from China to the United States. The bad news is we will be working at Chinese wages.
Correct. In other words, your kids will be making the next generation iPhone in a sweatshop in New York City. So the control of the world, the financial control will be the City of London. The religious control will be the Vatican. Military control will be D.C. out of Denver. And then you'll have the manufacturing economic control will be China. He said that we are on schedule, if not slightly ahead. He talked about the various drone programs, how drone pilots don't really talk to each other. They're not allowed to talk to each other, not allowed to commune or to socialize with one another. And they're always monitored. And this is because the drones are going to be integral in enforcing and neutralizing any sort of resistance.
And let's talk about that resistance. We've got 6 minutes. What are they anticipating as resistance in the United States?
Gun owners, Christians, veterans. He said that's the resistance that could pretend, a percentage of that population should rise up. And he said that that number one, okay, there's no sleeping giant because the sleeping giant is dead. He said that while the sleeping giant was sleeping, it's been bled out and killed. He said that the majority of these people that are buying these guns, Rick, they're not emotionally ready. They're not emotionally ready, nor are they trained to handle what's coming. And number two, they have no size of the force that's coming against them. He says that they have no understanding that certain weapon systems are what's called force multipliers. One drone can kill hundreds. They have other weapon systems that can kill thousands. It's into this thing, he says, that they have also staged bioweapons, one of which is the pneumonic plague, and they're beta testing it in Colorado. And as he said that, I received an email from one of my contacts saying, hey, look, a man in Colorado contracted the pneumonic plague, and there's three other people. They don't know how this person got it. They're saying it's from a tick or that his pet dog, this, that, and the other. He said these bioweapons will be released. It will affect the water, the food, and the air. And he gave an example. Let's just say you have a 33-ounce can of Folgers coffee. You open it up in, let's say, George Washington Bridge in New York City. In 3 days, you could have about 20 million people dead.
So when we said earlier that the illegal immigrant invasion that's underway right now, that will be the perfect cover story, then what I foresee next year is you're going to have weapons of mass destruction brought into the country, and you're going to have biological warfare agents released, and everybody's going to go, oh, no. It happened in July of 2014 when they started coming across the border.
Correct. I mean, for all we know, Rick, a patient at zero could be walking across that border right now.
Right. No, it's very easy to see how this is going to be the perfect cover story.
Yeah.
All right. So if they start a biological attack with some type of plague that spreads throughout the country, you have to shut down the country. You have to close the borders. You have
to cancel passports.
Nobody can leave without government permission.
Correct.
And you have the justification for heavy-handed martial law.
Yep.
I mean, this is the perfect cover story. And of course, the economy is going to crash because nobody's going to be working.
Yeah, no one has to worry about the economy. No one.
So they don't. So the banksters don't get blamed for the crash of the economy. It's the illegal immigrants who came over the border with the disease.
Yep. Yep. And you got how many people are infected with Ebola right now? They're out of nowhere. You got three cities at the same time. They start getting Ebola. Now you got 600 people infected in three different countries.
And this new mosquito,
it doesn't fit the signature.
This new mosquito virus, they've got victims just south of us in West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm. Equine encephalitis.
No, this other one. It starts with chick. What is it? I forget how it's pronounced. It starts with a C-H. It's, you know, I mean, you die. it's fatal. But they've got people in West Palm Beach, Florida, that are infected with this thing. So this is the perfect cover to bring down the U.S. economy and divert the blame from the banksters who robbed the system and put it on illegal immigrants and terrorists who came over the border. And now the government is going to respond to the American people demanding that they close the border. Can you see how this is going to work, V?
Absolutely.
Oh, we hear you. We hear you, America. You're demanding that we close the border. Bang.
All right, bang. There it goes. And here's the thing, Rick. The thing is this. One of the things the general said is that the weapon signature will not be known. Those were his own words. The weapon signature is, in other words, if you got labs, you got people trying to find out or try to autopsy this thing, they can't get the correct molecular or protein breakdown of this virus to adequately identify it, number one. In other words, the government will have complete and total, whoever's running this op, will have complete and total plausible deniability.
You know, I can see how this could easily bring about the merger of Mexico, the United States, and Canada.
Sure. They'll have to merge us in order to stabilize us. I mean, think about that.
And as the Eurasia Union comes together, then the argument's going to be, look, we've now had this economic giant that has appeared. We've got to match. You know, we got to fight fire with fire. They've gone with gold. We're going to go with silver.
Yep.
This is easy to see how they're going to pass this storyline.
Yeah.
To a frightened, terrified public.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What should people do?
Well, one of the things people need to do is you got to get your spiritual houses in order. That's first and foremost, man. You ain't got Christ. You don't have preparation. Period. You're as good as dead. That's the first thing. Second thing is you need to get the heck out of paper. Don't sit there with your IRAs, your stock portfolios, thinking that everything's A-okay and that you're going to be fine. You need to get that out. You need to get into hard assets. Start getting some gold. Start getting some silver. And now people are like, well, are you doing this to sell gold and silver? I don't have any gold or silver to sell you, and nor do I have a book to sell you. You know, I don't have any of that. So I will tell you that this is what you need to do. You need to figure out if you want to offshore, you can offshore it. If you have any questions on how to do it, you can contact me, gorillaeconomist@gmail.com. I also have a secure email, which I'll give out if you're serious about getting your portfolio and your wealth protected. That's something I can take care of for you. I can point you in the right direction and help you contact the right people to get this all done.
All right.
But that's about it.
My guest for this two-part interview is known as V, the Gorilla Economist. What's your website?
Sure. It's roguemoney.net. Roguemoney.net.
Roguemoney.net. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here today.
My pleasure, Rick. God bless you.
Well, listen, if you can meet me tomorrow morning in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, I would love to greet you and have some fellowship with you. I will be at the Best Western Hotel, 7:30 in the morning, Saturday morning. Best Western Hotel, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, not far from Spokane, Washington. A lot of people coming in for the event. It's $22 per person. That includes the tax and the tip. And it will start at 7:30 in the morning. I'll stay till at least 10:30 and talk and answer your questions and just get a chance to meet you. Really looking forward to meeting all of the True News listeners who will be coming over to the hotel tomorrow. It's going to be a great time. Maybe we'll start doing this and I can start traveling the nation and having these meetings in different cities. We'll see. We'll pray about it. Okay, God bless. See you next week.